Right, cool. Gosh, sounds like I'm on the bathroom, doesn't it, actually, that sort of echo. Anyway, good morning, everybody. Good to be back again. I've not been here for 4 weeks, I realised the other day. We were on holiday for a couple of weeks, and last week and the week before, I was at Kingsthorpe Church as well. So it's good to be back again. Well, as you can see, today is Palm Sunday, so we'll be thinking about the events of that day in a moment or two. First of all, I'm just going to read to you a few verses from Isaiah and chapter 40. And the prophet says this. He says, "A voice of one calling in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And of course, Jesus came to be our highway, didn't he? Our bridge, if you like, our connection with God. And we're going to think about making way for Jesus now in our first song, which is make way for the King of Kings. Darren, all right?
Yeah, he's taking the Germans to Stansted.
Oh, right.
They've been here for a week.
Way for Christ the King in glory rise. Fling wide the gates and welcome him to your eyes. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we are quite conscious that so often our lives are so full up with lots of things that we fail to make way for our Saviour Jesus. We pray, Lord, this morning as we worship you, that we might be aware of the presence of Jesus here in our service this morning. Lord, we pray that we might hear your word, Lord, speaking to us on this Palm Sunday. Lord, as we approach this this Holy Week, we pray, Lord, that we might dedicate ourselves more to serving you, that we might spend more time, Lord, in your presence. Help us, Lord, to reflect on the events of the last days, Lord, of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, here on earth. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us all here this morning, and we pray that we just might have a new understanding, Lord, of the events of that first Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Help us, Lord, to understand, Lord, why he came. Help us, Father, to understand why he died and rose again, so that we might, Lord, be able to put those things into practice in our own lives and make an impact, Lord, upon those around us. So we just pray, Lord, your blessing upon us this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I've got some slides this morning, and I've got some photos of people, and I want you to tell me what they've all got in common, right? So we'll just put them up one by one, and then we'll see if you can work out what they've all got in common. Leave the last one for a moment, won't you, Seth? And the next one? Right, we'll stop there for a minute. What have all those people got in common?
Yeah, you're right in the middle.
Sorry? Am I standing right in the middle? Oh, right, okay. They are all kings. That's right. Can anybody identify any of the... Sorry? Yeah, the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, Saudi Arabia. The one down the bottom middle is from Tonga. The top left-hand one, I think, is Bahrain. And I'm not sure where the other one's from. But yeah, if I put the sixth one up, that'll complete the picture, won't it? You know, so I asked you the question this morning, what does a king look like? You know, and in fact, there's no one size fits all, is there? You know, they all like sort of ordinary people, don't they? You know, you can tell, so there's a few clues, I think, up some of there. Some of them have got some flags, I think, behind them, and some of them are dressed in a certain way, and one of them's got some medals and things on. But, you know, because our traditional thing of kings are somebody who wears a crown, aren't they? And of course, the only time that a king ever wears a crown is at a coronation, isn't it? And of course, when the Prince Charles was crowned, that was the time when he wore the crown and he was enthroned, wasn't he, as king. So we're going to be thinking this morning about Jesus coming on that Palm Sunday and as a king, because people hailed him, didn't they, as king of the Jews. Now, of course, the kind of king that the people were expecting was a king that was going to lead them into military battle and to try and overthrow the Romans, who were the occupying force in Israel at that time. But of course, Jesus wasn't coming as that sort of king, was he? He was coming as a king that was going to suffer and die upon a cross just a week later, and then to rise again, and was going to sit as a king in heaven. So the kind of crown that Jesus wore when he died was a crown of thorns, wasn't it? This kind of thing. Now, would the children like to come forward? Right, now, who'd like to wear a crown? You'd like to put a crown on? Pretend to be a king? It goes on your head, right? Super. Do you want to wear a crown? No? Would you like to wear a crown? There we are. So which do you think is better? This crown or this crown? Which would you rather wear?
Which is a nice crown.
Do you like the crown you've got? Or do you want, to have this one instead? You feel that one? It's sharp, isn't it? Look. Cool. Not a nice one to wear, that one, is it? So, on that Palm Sunday, wasn't it, Jesus came into Jerusalem. And how did he come into Jerusalem? Can anybody tell, either of you tell me what happened on Palm Sunday? Jesus rode upon a sort of special animal, didn't he? Do you know what the animal was called? Any ideas? Right, shall I give you a clue? It made this noise, right? Right, anybody, can you guess what it was? A donkey, that's right. Look, I've got a donkey here. Look. Well, look, he came to be on a donkey. Look, stop putting the donkey mask on. Yeah, but take my glasses off. There, look. Yeah. Now, of course, when you see a king, do they ride donkeys? When the kings come, what do they do? They don't ride on donkeys, do they? They ride in big carriages and things. They have lots and lots of horses and what have you. So on this Palm Sunday, we're going to be thinking about Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. And when he was coming along the donkey and all the crowds were shouting to him, they were waving something. Any idea what they might have been waving? Any ideas? They were waving palms. Now, we've got some palm crosses here. And a palm, if you've seen a palm tree, it's a big, if you've ever been on holiday, you might have seen a palm tree, might you? Those big tall trees with sort of big branches and things on like that. So what we're going to do in a moment, and I would like you, if you would like to, help me to share out all of the palm crosses that we've got here to everybody in the congregation. Do you think you'd be able to help do that? Yeah? Okay. Right, so perhaps Margaret and Leah, yeah, and I'll help as well. Perhaps between us then, everybody, would help us to distribute then the palm crosses. And while we do that, we're going to sing two songs. The first song is Hosanna, and then we're going to sing Praise is Rising. So just keep going, depending on how we get on. Right, so who'd like some? There we are. Who'd like to do it? Do I take some of them to give out to people? Brilliant. We've got plenty here, so there we are. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And your name, hearts full of praise. From when I was, oh my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Lord our God, glory to the King of Kings. Do you want some more?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, somewhere in the
got a palm cross. Anybody got missed out? I've got just two or three more here. Any more needed? One or two?
Two.
Right. Baby palm cross on it. Okay, we're going to have a time of prayer now, but I thought we'd do it slightly differently today and use our palm crosses to kind of help us to focus upon the various things that we're going to, drop that, we're going to pray about. So, what I'd like you all to do, can you put the slide up, Seth, please? The next one, I think, yeah. That's it. Right, so what I want you to do is to put the cross in your palm, the palm, get the joke, of your right hand. And what we're going to do, we're going to use our thumb, right, to put it on various parts of the cross as we go through. We've got five things that areas we're going to pray about, and it tells you on there. So we're going to pray for the world, first of all. Secondly, we're going to pray for people in need. The third thing we're going to pray for, so when we pray for the world, we're going to put the finger on this bit of the cross here. When we pray for people in need, we're going to do it on the right hand one. When we pray for our community, we're going to put it on the bottom of the cross. The fourth one on the top of the cross, and the fifth one in the middle of the cross. So just follow the instructions. It doesn't matter really, but just to do that. So let's just spend some time now in prayer. Let's just start by putting our thumb on the left part of the cross piece. We're going just to spend a few moments, just in silence now, just praying for our world. Just think about the things that are going on in our world today, Lord. About the wars, about the famine, the conflict, the upheaval. Spend a minute or two just reflecting, praying, Lord, for those parts of the world where we need God's intervention. Loving God, we thank you that your peace reaches into every situation across our world. Be close to those places that need peace this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Okay, let's put it on the right hand now of the cross piece, and we're going to pray for those people that are in need. We just spent a few moments thinking of those who aren't here today, those who are unwell in hospital or elsewhere, those that have to work, those in our congregation that have got particular difficulties or problems that they're facing at the moment. Spend a moment or two just bringing those people that we know before you this morning. Loving God, we thank you that your hope reaches into every situation. Be close to those who are ill or sad this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We place our thumb now on the bottom of our cross. We're just going to spend a moment thinking of the community in which we're living in, and the needs that there are. Perhaps we could pray as well for those who are coming to the Creative Easter event this afternoon. The people that live around the church, the work group that we're thinking of doing on mission. So let's just spend a moment or two just bringing those things before you now. Loving God, we thank you that your joy reaches into our homes. Help us to know that you are here with us every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Put our thumb now on the top of the cross now. We're just thinking of those who lead the church. Think of our new deacons that have been elected recently. Pray for Susan, who comes and moderates for us. For all those who do jobs around the church and things that we perhaps just take for granted. So just spend a few moments just thinking of all the things that go on here at Carey, and for those people that look after our deeds. Loving God, we thank you that your love is shared through our church, and give wisdom to those who help us to know the good news of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we just put our thumb upon the centre of the cross. And we just pray in just a few moments now, just thinking of our own needs. The areas of our lives that we need a special touch on, the things that perhaps we want to change in our lives. Just spend a few moments just thinking of your own situation. Loving God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the love he has shown to each one of us. Help each one of us to follow him more and more each day. We ask these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought we might remain seated for our next song, which is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, which again just helps us to think and to focus upon the cross and to why Jesus came and died for our sins. So let's just remain seated and sing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Palm Sunday from Matthew chapter 21.
The reading is Matthew 21 verses 1 to 11, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your kings come to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkeys and the colt, placed their colts on them, cloaks on them. Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds then went ahead of them, and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
Thank you, Martin. I was hoping to bring an actual palm branch with me today. When we were on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and we were walking down this road, and there were all these palm trees lining both sides of the road. And of course, a lot of the palm trees had shed their palm branches. And I said to Sandra, "I'd like to bring one of those home as a visual aid for Palm Sunday." "Oh no," she said, "you're not putting that in the suitcase. You never know where it's been." So that's why we didn't do that. So this morning on Palm Sunday, we've thought a lot about Jesus as the King, haven't we? And we say that we're making way for Jesus, who is the King of Kings. But of course, Jesus didn't come to become a king in the way that we today think of the way that kings are, but he also came as a servant. I don't know about you, when I think of the word servant, I always think of play things like Downton Abbey or Upstairs, Downstairs, and butlers with serving things on trays and that kind of thing. My grandmother actually went into service, I think, when she was about 14, I think, and she worked down in a country house somewhere in Devon as a scullery maid or something. But of course, these days, it's only the sort of rich and the famous, isn't it, that gets servants. But of course, today, the whole thing is very different, isn't it? It's all about not being a servant to anybody, but it's all about how successful you are. When you look at the internet and the things that are happening on the TV, you see about the internet influences, about becoming famous on things like Britain's Got Talent or Pop Idol or whatever. And it's a completely different sort of world, isn't it? The whole world's kind of turned upside down. But I want to think this morning briefly about what service means and why Jesus came to earth both as a king but also as a servant. The first thing I think about service, and particularly this is true of Jesus, is that service requires a calling. You need to be called to become a servant. But of course, even with kings, actually, there is a calling, isn't there? There is a succession, and not anybody can become a king. You've got to have been in a certain situation or in a certain family to be able to be called a king.
And of course, when kings are crowned, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that process. When Charles was crowned at Westminster Abbey some while ago, there was a lot of preparation went into it, didn't they? You know, they had to work out all of the logistics of the whole thing, and, you know, they had a whole large police presence and catering and flowers and the clothes and everything else that took down. And of course, when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, a lot of preparation, a lot of planning had gone into that event by God. Now, there's some interesting things, isn't there, about this first Palm Sunday. Now, the first thing is that Jesus came on a donkey, didn't he? And he'd instructed his disciples to go and get the donkey. And the donkey, he said, was going to be in this particular place. And you're going to ask this bloke about this donkey. And he's going to let you have this donkey that we are going to then use on Palm Sunday. Now, he said to the disciples, tell him that the Lord needs it. And of course, this wasn't just a random event. If you read the prophecy of Zechariah, it actually talks about the fact that Jesus was going to come to this earth on a donkey. So these events were planned for many, many thousands of years ago. Because Jesus was called by God to become the saviour of the world. There was a big plan in place. So none of these events happened by accident. And of course, God calls each one of us into his service. So what do you think this morning about what God has called you to do as his servant? Because we're all called servants of God, aren't we? And I'm not just talking here about things we do in the church. Thinking about all the things that God has called you to do and the gifts that he's given you in your life to do the things that we're able to do which serve and honour God and bring others to him. You know, God is one who plans things, isn't he? He plans things very far in advance. You know, things never happen by accident with God. And we need to make sure that we're acting in accordance with God's will. So that's the first thing about being a servant, is that it's part of God's plan, part of God's plan. The second thing about being a servant is about humility. Now, humility is not something that, you know, people seek after these days, isn't it? It's against the culture of our society. You know, people want success. They want fame. They want money. They want power. But God is looking for humility in his people. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, when we're serving God, to do it in such a way that we're only doing it in terms of what we can get out of what we're doing, isn't it? You know, that's what Jesus was criticizing the Pharisees for, wasn't he? You know, they thought they were serving God and that they were doing all the things that God wanted to do, but Jesus rightly criticized them. Well, actually, you're only doing it to look good in front of everybody else, aren't you? So, God wants us to be humble people. Those of you that have read David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, you remember the solicitor of Uriah Heep, you know, when he says, oh, well, we are so very humble, doesn't he? But all the while, he was actually swindling his employees, you know, and really true humility, and actually to be really sincere about serving God and about serving others is not an easy thing to do. You know, it's very easy just to do it in terms of what we can get out of it, and not truly because we're serving God. And Jesus's humility was shown by the fact that he came through the streets of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And of course, a donkey was regarded in those days as a humble animal. You know, it was a workhorse, something that was used for carrying heavy loads. It was a beast of burden. But of course, it reminds us that Jesus chooses those humble things to achieve his purposes. In 1 Corinthians, it says, he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised and the things that are not, so that no one may boast before him. It's a very, you know, it's almost an inverted way, isn't it, of the way that things operate in our world today. But God uses anybody and everybody that just is willing to serve him. You know, not, we're not looking for whether you've got good looks or anything like that. You know, in fact, the worse looking you are, the better. You know, Jesus himself was said, you know, was someone that you wouldn't give a second thought to if you passed him by in the street. You know, he hadn't got any of those qualities. But Jesus was the one that God had chosen to save the world. So our service, therefore, must be in God's strength and use the gifts that God has given us, not because of what we are or who we are. The third thing I think about becoming a servant is that it's long-lasting. It doesn't give up. Of course, when Jesus rode into the city on that Palm Sunday, he made a massive impact, didn't he? It's really difficult to try and imagine the way in which the crowd went sort of completely wild. It says in verse 10 there that when Jesus entered the city, the whole city was stirred. You know, there's a big, you know, a real reaction to that. But of course, everybody had got different expectations of who Jesus was. And some were expecting a great military leader who was going to lead them and save them from the oppression of the Romans, who were the occupying force in Judea at the time. And others probably just didn't understand what all the fuss was about. Some of them said, "Who is he?" And others said that he is the prophet from Nazareth. You know, there's lots of different reactions to Jesus' appearance. But whatever they thought, a week later, the cries of Hosanna, which means Jesus saves, turned to crucify, didn't it? And it just shows you, doesn't it, how people can change very, very quickly. You know, we're fickle, aren't we? You know, we think one thing one minute, and then somebody says something to you, you think something completely different a little while later. You know, Jesus must have experienced an immense amount of pressure from the crowd that day, with all the shouting and the jeering and the expectations that they had of him. And there must have been some times when Jesus just wanted to give up. But you know, throughout that Holy Week, knowing what was in store for him on the Good Friday, despite all of those things, Jesus kept on going. You know, I often wonder what it's like being in the public spotlight. You know, you look at these politicians and leaders and things, and you think, you know, I would want to do his job for a month of Sunday. You know, who'd want to be the Prime Minister? Hands up, who'd like to do the Prime Minister's job? Nobody, would you? You know, it's a completely thankless task, isn't it? And, you know, it's all right when things are going well, if you're very popular with the crowd. But, you know, when things aren't going very well, it's the absolutely worst place you could possibly be. You know, the media turn against you and write everything down and give you a hard time. But if we put it in terms of our Christian life, in terms of our walk, our daily walk with God, it's easy, isn't it, to keep on going when things are going well. But Jesus, I think, teaches us that he wants us to keep on going when things are getting tough. You know, when there's a lot of negative criticism about us, when, you know, we feel under attack, when things are not going the way that we would want them to. Jesus followed God's commands, didn't he? And he carried on following them until the end. The last thing is that Jesus saw service as hardship, and included hardship and suffering. Now, if you look at the Bible, if you read the Bible, it was only until later on in Jesus' ministry that he actually revealed to people who he was. You know, you remember when the disciples had a conversation with him at Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked them, you know, who do people think that I am? And, you know, they had various things on that. But up until that point, he often told people, don't tell people who I am. I need to keep what I'm doing secret. The time has not yet come. But now he was entering into a period of opposition and hostility in his life. But although Jesus wants to be servants of his, he also calls us his friends. You know, if Jesus was writing a letter to us, he would probably say, you know, I am your friend and your servant. And of course, if we want to serve others effectively, we need to have the same approach to servanthood as Jesus with. You know, how often does our pride get in the way of our serving Jesus? Because we want to do things our way and not the way that Jesus wants us to. You know, when people criticize us, you know, do we look at ourselves and say, well, actually, there might be something true in what that person's saying? Or do we kind of go, oh, I'm getting the huff, and say, well, I'm not coming here anymore, you know, because so-and-so's upset me. You know, how many people do you know that have left the church because of something somebody has said? You know, think about that. Because being a friend, being a servant of Jesus, Jesus said, means being an enemy of the world. We mustn't be surprised at knockbacks, rejection, persecution, hard times. And Jesus said it's going to get worse and worse. The nearer and nearer Jesus' return comes, those things are going to get more and more. And I firmly believe, you know, we are in those end times now where Jesus' return is not too far away. You know, when we look at the events that are happening around us in the world today, we mustn't be surprised that Christians are going to get an even harder time than they've had up until now. But God wants us to do like Jesus did, to carry on, not look back, and look forward to the cross, didn't he? That was Jesus' goal. You know, he was going forward to the cross. You know, we're probably never going to face crucifixion like Jesus did, but we may well face things that we never imagined that we ever thought we did, as things develop in our world today. So the crowd asks, who is this? Who is this Jesus? They expected a man who was going to be king, but instead they saw somebody riding on a donkey. So the important thing though today is on this Palm Sunday, and we just need to reflect on this. Do you and I know who Jesus is? Do we know what he means to us? Do we know what he means in our lives? Do we know what effect that Jesus should have upon the world today? You know, Palm Sunday is a good time to remember that Jesus was called to service by God, and he came to save us from our sin. He is our King and our servant. So we're going to take up that theme now in our final hymn, The Servant King, which not only talks about Jesus' role as coming to earth as a servant, but also our responsibility and our response to that as his friends and servants as well.
So, whoops, if we could join together and say this as one. May the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord turn his face towards us and give us peace.